Hello, and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author, editor, and book coach, Connie B. Dowell. Doing another kind of quick intro record before my family wakes up. So there's a little bit of an echo in this room. I apologize. Just part of recording things in a pandemic when you have to do it in your kitchen, because nobody ever leaves the house. But today I have a great interview for you guys with science fiction fantasy author Richard C. White about a very important subject. And Richard is part of Writer Beware, the anti-spam committee, as he describes it, of the Society of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, rather. So we're talking about the scams that people put out there, nefarious people put out there in the world to try and catch writers, the ways that writers can look for red flags in terms of vetting a publisher or service, and just some ways you can be a savvy writer out there in the world. So this is a really important episode. I hope you guys get a lot out of it, and I hope that you stay clear of any scams. All right, let's get to the interview. All right, today on the podcast, I'm talking to Richard C. White about Writer Beware. So welcome to the podcast, Richard.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, Connie.
I'm glad to talk to you this morning. So before we get started about Writer Beware and what that organization does, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you write?
Okay, well, I've been a writer, as I like to tell people. I just went over 45 years as a professional writer. I actually started at 15 writing for a local newspaper, covering all the different events up at the school that the editor didn't have time to go to. It was a very small newspaper. But I've been I've written science fiction, fantasy, action adventure. My first job was actually doing media tie-in work. I wrote an Incredible Hulk short story as my first professional prose. And I make my living as a technical writer. So I've pretty much been writing most of my life. My latest work that was out was a fantasy noir. So kind of a crossover with the genres. Basically, what would a typical 1940s radio detective do if monsters and magic actually existed? So, how do you solve mysteries, when people can cast spells or turn into werewolves?
Wow, that's interesting. And that's quite a career and quite a range of stuff to work on.
It certainly has kept me interested.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating. So let's dive into Writer Beware. So tell us a little bit about what it is, what it does, where it came from.
Okay. Writer Beware is, for lack of a better term, the CIFWA, the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. It is their anti-scam committee. We don't really have an official, definition, but that's pretty much what it is. Writer Beware started in 1998. It was set up by Victoria Strauss and Anne Crispin. I joined Writer Beware in 2007 and have been working with them ever since. Unfortunately, Anne passed away a few years ago, but her husband, Michael Capobianco, took over and has been filling in admirably. But that's pretty much it. There's really just the three of us. And then the occasional volunteer who, helps out with special knowledge, skills, et cetera. It started out because there was a really, pretty much right before or right as ebooks were coming out, it was much harder to get into publishing when, you only had so many publishers out there. And so some, shall we say, less than scrupulous publishers and agents were taking advantage of writers' desperation to, you know, make it into the business. And let's just say they had some questionable tactics on how to, quote unquote, help you. Like they were charging money to read your script or you know, read your book. They were charging money to read your query. They were offering to shoot your query out to hundreds of agents, which all that meant was it wound up in the agent spam box or just going straight into the round file, because they were like sending romances to Bain, which pretty much does military science fiction, or they were sending hard-boiled detective stuff to Harlequin, because they didn't care. They'd gotten your money. All they had to do was show they had done something to help you. And, you know, then therefore they quote unquote justified their cost. But really all that was happening was writers were spending hundreds and thousands of dollars and, you know, getting absolutely nothing for it. One of the worst ones, and I don't know exactly how much we were involved in it because this happened right before I joined, but there was a group called Edit Inc. And what they were doing was they were paying agents for their rejects. And because what they would try to do is they would try to get the agent to send them to Edit Inc. to fix up and clean up their manuscripts so that they could resubmit them. But what this guy was doing was he was hiring freshman and sophomore English majors from one of the local colleges to look over these books. This man had no credits in the industry whatsoever. He had no connections anywhere in the industry whatsoever. But what was happening was for everybody who paid him to work on their stuff, he was kicking back 10% of that money to the agents. Which, if the agent is supposed to be working as your advocate, well, they can't really be working as your advocate if they're making a financial been on rejecting you. Whether your stuff was good or not, it didn't matter. As you know, if they rejected you and sent you to him, they got a check. So needless to say, that was quite the scandal when it broke. And luckily, I'd like to say that stuff like that, I won't say it doesn't happen, but it happens much less than it used to. But if there's a way to make money off it, writers, somebody will figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just unethical in all kinds of different ways.
Yes, and, indeed.
And the feedback those authors would have been getting, like when I think about the editorial feedback that I could possibly have given as a freshman English major, ooh.
Yeah. Oh, and they were getting paid. They were getting paid. Oh, the people who were working for him were just getting paid like $10, $15 mm-hmm. bucks. You know, and so you can imagine how much work they put into a $10 edit.
Oh yeah, yeah, no.
But we've had a long running battle with a now out of business bad publisher called Publish America. They were notorious for like noting that they had 80,000 satisfied, authors. Well, first off, it's a small company with 80,000 published authors. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you? This is an author mill. They don't care about you. All they're worried about is trying to get as many authors in and through. And what they were doing, they were slick, because we always recommend against going to a vanity press, which is somebody you pay to publish your book. Now, I'm not saying all vanity presses are bad. I mean, like if you're a church that's just like put together a cookbook of, you know, favorite things, but nobody in the congregation feels comfortable about self-publishing, you know, hiring a vanity press as your printer makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about trying to sell fiction or, you know, something like that you're expecting to get widespread around the country, a vanity press is completely useless for you because they don't have distribution. They can't get you into the warehouses. They can't get you into bookstores. And they certainly don't do anything more than slap your book up on Amazon and wait for it to disappear in the noise. What Publish America used to do was what we call a reverse vanity. They didn't charge you a cent up front. Matter of fact, they used to pay people a dollar as royalty or as an advance, a $1 advance for your book. But what they would do is they would make your book incredibly expensive. Like we saw, like somebody had like a 180 page book that they were selling for $21.95. Now, no one's going to pay $21.95 for a 120 page book. But that's what they were counting on. They didn't want to sell it to the public. They would start inundating you with, this week only, you can buy copies of your book for 50% off and we'll throw in 5 extra copies. Because see, they were trying to sell it to their authors. Because authors like their books. Authors like to have extra books around to give away or to sell at conventions and stuff. And that's where they made their money. See, with 80,000 people, now mind you, they didn't have 80,000 people all at one time because over the course of their life, they churned through authors badly. But if you think, if one out of every 5 people bought their own book, considering how little work they had done on it, all they did was format it, run it through a spell check and slap it, slap a cover on it and go. All you had to do was buy 2 cases of one person buy 2 cases, and that paid for all of the effort that they put into on a book. So everything after that was just great. And they would inundate people week after week. This sale, that sale. Hey, do you want to try and get your book on? We can try to get your book on Oprah, but you'll need to, buy so many so we can send out. We'll send your book to J.K. to Clive Cussler, whoever. But you gotta, buy. You gotta. We're gonna submit some books to the Berlin Book Fair. Why? Because nobody's in Berlin. You don't know if they actually went there or not. But you paid them to send your books there. Your books may have gone there. They may have shipped them to Berlin. Not that there's anybody there to pick them up. But you don't know that because you can't go and check. And these people made tons of money off. And they primarily targeted really young authors and elderly authors. Especially they were big on memoirs. They wanted, people to write their life story. And it was really... It was really very sad, and we would fight them. We fought them online. We fought them at conventions. We fought them in court a couple of times because they didn't like us because we were telling the truth about them, which it seems to be the only time we get sued is when we tell the truth about somebody. And right now, the biggest problem we're running into is one of the former vanity presses that went under had farmed out most of its work to the Philippines. There has been an explosion of Filipino organizations that are selling vanity stuff. They're selling pretty much worthless kits to authors, like, for $7,000, we'll make a book video. Or, we can convert your book into a script for TV. Or, they're just selling all kinds of really either useless or incredibly overpriced from what you could do it for yourself. But again, this is what that one vanity press had done. And they, like I said, they used to do it here in the States, and then they farmed all their stuff over to the Philippines because they were paying those people pennies on the dollar what they were paying American solicitors. And so now these people have just picked up and run with it. So Victoria on our blog has a list of over 100 Filipino companies that are all pretty much offshoots off of this one American spammer. And it's really frustrating because, matter of fact, a couple of them have started doing things. They're actually sending out emails claiming to be agents, respected agents in the industry. But if you look, it's not the agent's mail list, or it's not their email address, but they are representing this agent, which has got several people a little upset because they really don't want, while 90% of us know that no, they're not really involved in this, and they're posting that, hey, I have nothing to do with this. There's always a few people who aren't going to get the second message, and they're just going to assume that this agent is scammy. And, you know, so they're messing with people's reputations just to try and make a buck.
Well, I didn't know if you have paused or if I've lost you a minute because our video is okay. Yeah, our video is a little bit off of the audio. Okay. So it didn't miss anything. But yeah, thank you for detailing a lot of that stuff and for explaining what a vanity press is. I know because I do a lot of the indie author world and in local author organizations, that's the biggest scam that I see people falling for are vanity press.
I'm gonna fall on my sword here because there are arguments within the writer community, but I'm gonna stake this hill to die on. There is no such thing as a hybrid publisher. Hybrid is a word used for authors who have been both trade published and self-published. A hybrid press, I know there are people who are selling, they sell editing, people who sell, they make covers for people, et cetera, et cetera. And I know there are a couple of people out there who are selling packages for authors. Like, hey, we can help you with the design and the cover and this and that. I don't have a problem with that. But when people claim to be a hybrid publisher, I'll put in so much money, you put in so much money, and we'll produce a book. No, that's a vanity press. Because we ran into this before with a press down in Oklahoma called Tate Publishing. Luckily, the Tates are now in jail. They actually got, the Oklahoma Attorney General went after them and busted them down. But they used to sell their books. You put up $4,000, we'll put up $4,000. Okay, I have worked with enough small presses to know you can release a book for under $1,000, and I'm talking about with a professional editor, with a professional cover. So, and I'm doing it, like once a year. These people had an actual printing press. So they were doing everything in-house. There's no way in the world that the books that they were selling people cost them $8,000. So what really was, Tate was putting up zero money. You were paying for not only your book, but you were keeping the Tates into pretty decent money. But they were a hybrid press because, they're in this with you and we're all in this together. And books were going out with Tate's name on it. It wasn't even like you were getting the credit for it. You were basically paying for Tate to put their name on your book. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm sure there are some hybrid like organizations, like I said, that sell packages to book, to self-publishers, to help them, get over, to fill in the things where they don't have their strength, but they don't try to put their name on your book. You can pick and choose, but these hybrid publishers or anybody who comes to you like with a, and again, they have taken legitimate organizations. Like there are book co-ops where self-publishers get together and help each other out. But some of these co-op presses are, again, just high, vanity presses with a different name on them, co-ops, partnerships, hybrid. You've really got to look over what exactly is going on, because some of these people, like I said, I just hate the fact that people call themselves hybrid publishers, because that sets off the hackles on the back of my neck, because 90% of the hybrid publishers that I've dealt with through Writer Beware have not been hybrid publishers. They're just vanity presses that don't want to call themselves a vanity press.
Yeah, I agree. I would be very careful with anything that tries to position itself as something between a regular press and self-publishing. They need to be real explicit about what they do.
Sure. And I mean, there's really good medium and small presses too out there. I'm certainly not saying don't go to a small press, because, you know, I mean, some people know that there's a niche out there. I mean, no, you're never going to sell enough of X book to, HarperCollins to look at you. But, Pulp, some of the different romance titles. I mean, romance is humongous. Don't get me wrong, but there are certain subsections within romance that where a smaller press is much better positioned to, get you to your market. But again, if you haven't heard of the press, definitely check it out before you sign any contract, because again, and I say it with agents too, because one of my friends who also is an anti-scam person, but he's not a Writer Beware person, but he's helped us out, set up a website called Bad Agent Sydney. Bad Agent Sydney was his cat. He and Sydney, he took all these different horror stories, but he put it, he made it kind of humorous, because it was the cat, like, you're not worth my time. I was too busy sleeping to work, to send your manuscripts out, yada, yada. But here was the scary part. One, if Sydney was an agent, Sydney was one of the worst agents in the world. He had a picture of Sydney on the website. Sydney got between 20 and 40 submissions a week from authors. Why? Because all they did was Google agent, saw Sydney's name come up, and shot Sydney an email asking if Sydney wanted to represent their book. They did no research. They didn't know what Sydney, if Sydney could, and since Sydney couldn't read, it really didn't matter. But, I mean, they had done nothing but Googled agent, saw Sydney's website come up, and boom, shot her a manuscript. And he was just like, what is wrong with you people? Why are you submitting to a cat? But that's how desperate authors get. Mm-hmm. Because we want our books out there. And it's like we try to tell people, you've spent a year and a half writing this novel, writing this whatever. Why do you spend 30 seconds prepping before trying to find a publisher? Take some time, slow down. Writer Beware has a database where you can contact us and say whether we've heard something. We're not going to tell you who's the best publisher, because that's an individual, or the best agent, because that's a very individual, what are your goals? Can this person work with you? Yada, yada. But we can certainly tell you who not to go to. Mm-hmm. Because we've got, since they started this in 98, we have a rather heavy list of, now a lot of them don't exist anymore, because bad agents and bad publishers tend to come and go quickly. The trouble is they tend to take their clients down with them when they go. Because, like, if you've signed up with a bad press and they either go belly up or they just disappear, they just stop answering the mail, unless they have given you a letter releasing your book, you can't take that book to another publisher. That book is officially, basically just dead in the water, because no other publisher is going to take a chance, because say somebody picked up your book and it became a national hit and they decided to make them, you know, Disney came to you and wanted to make a movie based on it, yada, yada. And then that old publisher pops up and goes, oh, wait, I never released you. I get a cut of all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, so a reputable publisher wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole unless you have, you know, a letter or something, you know, clearly stating your book has been released. So again, slow down, take your time, find out who you're working with before you just, you know, just because somebody says, oh, I like your book, could you, you know, check them out. Do they have sales? Do their covers look like something you would pick up either on Amazon or in a bookstore? Because there's some really, I don't want to say they're bad people, but there's an awful lot of amateurs out there. And that's not really who I want to publish me, and I don't think that's who your listeners want to publish them.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the things that listeners who are maybe a little bit worried about getting caught up in a scam can look out for. You mentioned the database that they can check on an individual agent or organization.
Well, there's certain things. I mean, because I know the season's coming up. Say you've done a PitMad or a, you know, one of these Twitter pitch sessions, and you get some likes from some people. And if you do, great, because I don't seem to be able to do that. But take a look. You know, an agent approaches you, go back and look at their site. One, hopefully they've got a website. Two, where have they agented before? Because most agents are either with an agency or have come from an agency, or maybe they have been an editor in it, like at a publisher. And I'll be honest, being an editor will burn you out really bad. So a lot of people leave editing and become agents because they like being in the publishing business. They just don't want to edit anymore. But there should be some kind of experience because we pointed out with Bad Agent Sydney, there is no licensing. You know, an auditor has to be licensed. A doctor has to be licensed. I could create a business card right now that says Richard C. White agent. And you know what? I'm an agent. I'm legitimate because I say I'm an agent. But even with all of my publishing experience, I don't know editors. I don't know who's looking for what. I don't know, and again, an agent doesn't necessarily have to live in New York, but they should at least, you know, meet with, you know, acquiring editors every so often to find out, you know, what. If there's a direction that the editor is thinking about moving in, they think this thing will be the next big thing. You know, hey, do you have anybody who's actually writing this? There's got to be some way to have contacts. I mean, you want an agent who's a full-time agent. You really don't want somebody who's agenting, you know, from, you know, 7 o'clock at night to 10, you know, after they get home from their regular job, you know, because, you know, then that's what, and also, and I hate to say it sometimes with publishers too. I mean, you know, they're, you know, is, you know, they get to the publishing after everything else is done. So look, what is their experience again, like with publishers, take a look at their books, take advantage of the, look inside function, like say at an Amazon, read the first two or three pages of one of their books. If grammar errors and punctuation errors and just bad writing is jumping off the page at you, that'll give you an idea of what kind of editing you can expect from this publisher. Are the covers attractive? I'm not saying I agree with every cover that's ever been made out there, but at least I can generally see why they made that cover, but not always. but if the covers are consistently bad, amateurish, look like they're just clip art that somebody's put together, you know, again, you got to decide, is this something I would feel comfortable on the cover of my book? Same thing again with publicists. A lot of people are selling publicity. You know, I'll help get your book out there. Well, you know, try to find out who some of their clients are and talk to them. Have they, you know, what kind of success, you know, how much return on investment did they get for all their publicity? Editors, I'm not saying send somebody, you know, please don't try to do what some people and some really scammy writers have done, which is they have sent out different chapters of their book to editors to get sample edits and basically try to get their book edited for free by having a different editor edit a different chapter.
And we can not tell cool. when that happens.
Not cool. Don't do that. Don't be that writer. But it's not unreasonable to ask for a small sample of their editing, because editing comes in different layers, and that's a whole nother podcast. But you need to know what the editor is going to do, and you need to know the editor needs to know what you expect from them, because again, you know, there's a whole big difference between them simply just doing a grammar check on your stuff and them doing actual development editing where, you know, wait, no, I think maybe chapter 5 should have come in chapter 7. Who the heck is this character? Can't he be combined with that character to streamline your book a bit? I mean, so you need to make sure you're comfortable with these people also. So, you know, so even before you sign on the dotted line, you definitely want to try and talk to somebody, especially an agent or an editor, and make sure that you guys are like I said, it's easy to send emails and think you understand what each other is going to do. But when you start talking in person, and I know all the writers out there who are the introverts are going, oh my God, talk to somebody on the phone. Yes, I'm sorry. You actually may have to do that. Me being on the extrovert side of extrovert, I have no problem with this, but I understand I am not normal for an author. We do tend to be a rather insular group. But those are just a few of the things. And again, there's if you go to the Writer Beware page at CIFWA, and also I do want to make one thing kind of clear real quick. If you're searching, it is Writer Beware. Writers Beware, which I have seen, was actually a URL taken by a group of people who don't like Writer Beware.
Oh, no.
And there was some rather scurrilous stuff being put up there. I don't know if it's still around or not, but for a long time we had a competing website that was basically being paid for by some of the publishers and agents who didn't like us. So, again, be careful out there, because, you know, scammers will take every advantage, to include the fact picking up a URL we probably should have picked up just so we could have redirected it to the right spot. But you can find us at CIFWA.org. And then once you get there, under resources, there's a drop down and Writer Beware is right there. And we have different things. We have, alerts, you know, things that we notice that are going on right now, some case studies, you know, some, situations that we've dealt with in the past. And we breakdown, we talk about, small publisher, small presses, self-publishing, vanity presses, and we also have our infamous thumbs down publishers and agents list, which are the 20 worst publishers and agents that we have found. Which again made a lot of people unhappy when we posted that, but that's good, because we wanted to make them unhappy because we're cutting into their business. And again, you can reach us at beware@cifwa.com. That is our email address. Anything you send to Writer Beware will be kept in confidence. We will not, you know, unless you know, some judge somewhere says you absolutely have to tell us who the heck sent you that. Everything we do is kept in confidence. We try to aggregate as much as possible so that they can't figure, you know, people can't figure out who exactly said what. And we also have a blog. It's at accrispin.blogspot.com. It's the Writer Beware blog. Victoria does a really good job of keeping that up. I and Michael make the occasional, and we also have some other guests who come in occasionally, but that's primarily Victoria's baby. She when she's not posting stuff on Twitter, she's posting stuff to our blog. And we try to keep people up to date when we hear things about, you know, authors all of a sudden start having trouble getting their royalty checks, or, you know, a agent has gone radio silent, and, you know, if you're trying to get a hold of them, let us know, and we'll see, you know. Because what we try to do is we also send out questions like, have you heard anything? Because if we get one or two things, you know, we're not necessarily going to write up a big thing, say, oh, this person's having trouble, because, you know, it could just be one or two people haven't, you know, couldn't get a hold of the so-and-so, or, you know, whatever. But if it starts becoming a, you know, if we hear from like 20, 30 authors saying, hey, we're all having problems with this, then we definitely need to look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will make sure to include links in the show notes. So if you didn't quite catch that, you can look at the show notes and click to get to the right place.
Yep.
All right, so that's a lot of good stuff that that writers should look out for, good things that writers should look for. A lot of good information today. Do you have any parting thoughts for us before we close out the episode?
Well, I'm going to basically I want to reiterate Yog's Law. Which is should be well known to writers, but as we like to say, the only place an author signs a check is on the back. Mm-hmm. Now, people are going to say, well, if you're a self-publisher, you're a publisher, you're not the author. You know, you have to kind of split your mind in half. You know, you have your author side and your publisher side, but if you're just an author, that they should be paying you for your work. If you're paying them, something has gone wrong.
Yeah. If you're paying them and you're not the publisher also, then yeah, that's...
Yes. Or the other part is money flows to the author. That's the easiest way to describe it.
Yep. Very true. It should be. But thank you so much for coming on today, Richard. Thanks for sharing all this with us and for doing all this work.
All right. And actually, if people have questions for me, my website is richardcwhite.com, and there's a you can contact me through that, or I am Nightwolf Writer on Twitter, and I'm certainly happy to answer any and all questions I can, or try to at least, or I'll reach out to other people to try and find out, you know, what I can to help out people.
All right. Well, thank you again. This has been great.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to Book Echoes. If you want to chat about Writer Beware or scams, head on over to the show notes. Show notes has links to the Writer Beware site, the blog, where you can contact people. If you've got something you'd like to say to me, I would love to hear from you in the comments of the show notes. Go to bookechoes.com/show. You can also email me, connie@bookechoes.com, or leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or the podcast catcher of your choice. So I am done for the day and back to a very busy pre-launch week. Something I'll tell you guys in more detail about later. Just a really busy pre-book launch week. So until next week, happy writing. Have a good one.